Welcome to Shalom Aleichem, where we discuss the scriptures and issues in our world with Mark Robinson.
Shalom, this is Mark Robinson. It's good to have you with us today, and it's my blessing to have Bonnie Pearson with me. Welcome, Bonnie.
Hi, thanks for having me this morning.
It's good to have you, and I have known you, Bonnie, for many years and know your family and know your husband, Dan. Pearson is not a Jewish name. What is your maiden name?
My maiden name is Rosenthal.
So Bonnie Rosenthal before you got married. Very Jewish.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Now, I know your parents, and they're both Jewish and believers in the Messiah. Tell me and tell our listeners a little bit of your background, perhaps your family background, and what eventually brought you to accept Jesus as the Jewish Messiah?
Well, it all actually began in turn of the century Russia with some great-grandparents that lived there. And it was during the pogroms they decided to leave, and some of the relatives made it here to America. My grandma Yetta was born here in Philadelphia. And fast forward in time, she married. She ended up with a luncheonette in Strawberry Mansion, a very Jewish part of Philadelphia. And she was a typical Jewish, bubby kind of lady and very stubborn. So no surprise when a lady named Fanny Miller happened to come into her store, and suddenly she was trying to convince my grandma, Yetta, that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. Yetta would have nothing of it. She quickly kicked Fanny out of the store, and it was no secret that she was upset. Well, Fanny wasn't going to be detained. The next week, Fanny came back again to try and convince Yetta that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. Yetta couldn't believe the chutzpah that this lady would come back and share that again. So again, Yetta kicked her out of the store. And again, she kept doing that. And Fanny eventually got tired of being thrown out of the store and thought, well, I'm going to become a paying customer, and then maybe they won't kick me out of the store at least. And it worked. Fanny became a paying customer, and little by little, she was sharing with Yetta from the Jewish scriptures why Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, and it caught Yetta's ear. She softened. It took about 2 or 3 years, and eventually, my grandma did come to believe that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, but it came with a price. Because I said it was a very Jewish neighborhood, and once Yetta found this, she wasn't shy about sharing it. And the neighbors got angry, even throwing apples through the luncheonette window. My grandma and her 3 sons, who were teenagers, including my dad, Stan, had to move away. But that's how the Rosenthals first got introduced to Jesus the Messiah. As I said, my father was about 13 at that time, and Fanny and Yetta began sharing with my dad and his brother the same truths about Jesus. And my dad, Stan, eventually did believe that Jesus was the Messiah as well.
I've had the privilege of knowing your family, as well as your grandmother, Yetta, so it's been my blessing and to know your family and an amazing story about the perseverance of one person who ultimately, as she shared the scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, God used that to penetrate the heart of your grandmother, would pass down from that to your dad and then ultimately to yourself. When did your dad come to the Lord roughly?
Well, he was a teenager, probably 13, 14 years old. And my mother, Marlene, comes into the picture couple of years later. Marlene, she was very Jewish. Marlene Hendler, she was. And met Stan. They started dating. Stan decided not to tell her that he was a believer until it became serious. They were going to get engaged, and my mom started suspecting that there was something going on. She saw Bibles and Christian kind of literature around. She confronted Stan, and he did say that, yes, he was a believer in Jesus, where the inevitable happened. She broke up with him. It seemed like the end, but my mother, through the next 6 months, met another Christian lady who showed her, through the Jewish scripture, that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. She ended up getting back together with Stanley at that point.
And one of the byproducts, if you will, of that relationship was you.
That's right. Now, just because my parents were Jewish believers didn't mean that I was born a Christian. Because if you're Jewish, that can't be taken away from you. That heritage cannot be taken away. Just because you're Jewish and a Christian, that just means a Jewish believer in Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. You can be Jewish, believer of Messiah. You don't lose your Jewishness. So I was born Jewish, but I had the best of both worlds, because I did grow up going to church, but I also grew up with some Jewish tradition, so I had the best of both worlds there. And it wasn't till I was about 6 years old at a children's program at the church where a magician was there, and he shared the gospel in simple terms, and I believed with the faith of a child.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the point about you're Jewish. Jewish is an ethnicity. It's a heritage that a person has, cannot lose.
Yes.
Jewishness is a matter of birth. It's not a matter of practice. That's Judaism. So being born to Stan and Marlene, Jewish parents, you're Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming a Christian is a choice.
Yes.
And that is something many of our listeners, certainly the Jewish listeners, that they oftentimes acquaint being a Christian with a religion.
Mm-hmm.
How would you define Christian?
Well, as I just stated before, Christian, the word just means the follower of Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. So it's kind of more a relationship than a religion. You're just someone who follows Jesus, the Messiah, and has a relationship with him.
Exactly, exactly. And that's one of the things, myself being Jewish and growing up before I became a believer, and I became a believer at the age of 27. To me, there were the Jews and there were the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I've learned since then is there are Jews and there are Gentiles.
Right.
And Gentiles are not necessarily Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make a choice to follow the Messiah, whether you're Jewish or Gentile. And when you make that choice to embrace Jesus as the Messiah, your Savior, you become a follower of the Messiah, or a Jewish Christian, like mm-hmm. yourself or me, or a Gentile Christian. Now, you were young when you accepted the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and it was through a church program.
Mm-hmm.
But I know in the years since, you've done lots of study in the Jewish background of the Scripture.
Yes.
What is it, perhaps, of any of the scriptures that you've come across through the years, maybe even early, that your parents introduced to you from the Tanakh, from the Jewish Bible, that helped solidify in your mind that believing in Jesus is really Jewish?
Yes. I'm glad you asked that, because when I became an adult, especially through the college years, it became a time for me to really think and study that I believed Jesus for myself, not just because I inherited that from my parents. But I think it's really interesting that in the book of Leviticus 17:11, it tells us that the blood makes the atonement for one's soul.
Yes.
And God never changes. So if he required blood back then he would require blood now. But somewhere along the line, mainly because the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, the rabbis and such changed it that good works would be the answer, but how can they do that? It's God that decides. God decided then, and it's still the same. So I saw that, and Old Testament scripture such as Isaiah 64:6 and Ecclesiastes 7:20 clearly tell that everybody is a sinner. In fact, it says our righteousness is like filthy rags, which nobody wants to hear. Isaiah 59 tells us that our sins have separated us from a holy God. We know that God's holy. Habakkuk 1 tells us that God's holy and can't tolerate sin. So there's the dilemma that we're sinners and we can't reach a holy God. And there's that verse again, that blood is required. You know, that's not a new concept. All the way back in Genesis with Adam and Eve, we see that when they sinned, they tried to cover it up with the leaves, but God killed an animal, and that blood was to atone for their sins at that point. Cain and Abel, that story used to bother me till I realized that Cain's sacrifice of fruit and vegetables wasn't accepted, not because God didn't like Cain or his produce, but because blood was required. Even then, the story of Passover, again, it was blood that was going to atone for sin there. So, I mean, it works out nicely when we see John the Baptist come on the scene. What is the first thing he says? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It just made sense. Anybody who knew anything about the Jewish scriptures would know that it was always lambs and blood that atones for sin. Jesus was introduced as that lamb, so it wasn't unusual. If you studied Isaiah 53, it said that the Messiah was going to come like a lamb, and his blood was going to be the answer to sin, the final slaughter of a lamb. So all those things just made sense to me like hand in glove.
So as an adult, you studied it out, looked into the Tanakh, put all of it together. You've obviously done a lot of research, a lot of study into the Jewish Bible and the background of why you as a Jewish person should believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But then you coupled it, and I want to go back to your childhood as a six-year-old when you accepted the Lord.
Yes.
And I think that's very instructive because the Bible speaks Habakkuk. You mentioned Habakkuk, and it speaks of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And back in Genesis 15, Abraham believed faith in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So even a child, like a six-year-old, can put their trust in what the Messiah Jesus has done in paying the penalty for their sins. You've put it all together very well as an adult, but it's childlike faith. And that levels the playing field. You don't have to be an intellectual. You don't have to be extremely religious. You need to come to God with childlike faith.
Absolutely.
Amen. Now, as we close, do you have a final thought that you'd like to share with our listeners about the Messiah?
Well, you ask a lot of Jewish people on the street, do you believe that a Messiah is going to come? And a lot of them will say, yeah, we've always been taught that way. A Messiah is going to come. And I would say to them, well, how do you know who it's going to be? What is he going to be like? What is he going to do? How will you recognize him? And they'll say, I don't know. I guess we'll just know. But it's like, no, if you don't know what you're looking for, you won't know when he's here. You won't know when you're going to be led astray or when the real one's there. So I would say, look into the Jewish scripture. It tells you what to look for the Messiah. For instance, Isaiah 7 says he's going to be born of a virgin. And Micah 5:2 says he's going to be born in Bethlehem. There's scripture that says he's going to be from the tribe of Judah through the lineage of David. It's all in there in the Jewish scripture. You look, and it's going to tell you just what the Messiah is going to be. And then you'll see that Jesus fits all those descriptions. You'll see it for yourself, and it'll be really exciting, and you'll know. You'll know that Jesus is the Messiah. if you just look.
Amen. Great challenge. Great challenge to the people. Well, Bonnie Rosenthal Pearson, because that's your name today, it's been great to have you with us and to share your story and how you came to know the Messiah. Hopefully, this will challenge someone out there to look into the Scriptures, that they can find the peace with God that you have found, that I have found, that God offers to all, Jew and Gentile. And if you're listening and you'd like to contact us and you have questions, email us at contact@shalomshalom.info. That's contact@shalomshalom.info. Bonnie, thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Thanks for listening to Shalom Aleichem, where we discuss the Scriptures and world issues.